We're going to be here for a little bit, so just kind of settle in, and we're going to be talking about being more like Jesus for a while. So our scripture that we use is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." Be imitators of God. The Greek word for imitators. That's not the Greek word for imitator. It is the word perfect place for imperfect people. Praise God. The Greek word is the word for mimic. It's the word where we get the word mimic. So it talks about that we are supposed to be mimics of God. And we talked about how we're going to be imitators of God. Wow. Or mimics, if you will, of God. By the way, we're going to do that is through Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says this: "The Son is the radiance of the glory of God's glory and the exact representation of His being." We talked about how Jesus, when you see Jesus, you see the Father. When you see who Jesus is, when we see Jesus going about and doing things, we see the way the Father does things. The way the Father thinks about things, how the Father deals with things. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God." So when we see Jesus, we see the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father. And then it moves, and it kind of switches to where our responsibility falls in line with Jesus. Is Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It says this: "For those God foreknew, He also predestined us to be conformed into the image of the Son." C.S. Lewis said, "Putting on Christ is not one of many jobs that the Christian has, but it's not some sort of special exercise for those elite top class. It is the whole of Christianity. Becoming like Jesus is the whole of Christianity. It's what it's all about." And we talked about that during the first week. We talked about the tuning fork, how the tuning fork, when you take the tuning fork and you apply it to a guitar, it resonates the sound of A or whatever that tuning fork is tuned to. And we talked about how what needs to happen is Jesus needs to touch our lives and we tune our lives to Him. There is a lot of people that if we tune this bass guitar to a note that is not true A, and we say, "All right, the rest of the instruments tuned to that bass," it's the wrong tune, right? It is not tuned. They may be tuned together, but they are not tuned to the standard of A. There is one A. All the musicians said, "Amen, amen." So whenever we take a tuner, we take the standard, and we say, "This is what we're supposed to tune to." It is like who Jesus is, right? Jesus is our standard. And like we said before, not your favorite preacher, not that Christian that you love so much. It is Jesus is the standard. Jesus. And so we've said it, I've said it for a long time, that our number one study among all the other study that we do in the Bible should be the life and the person of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Because if I'm supposed to be an imitator of Him, I need to know how to act like Him. I need to know how He acted, right? And so that's our study that we're doing. So we talked about during the second week, we talked about the unshakable Jesus, how Jesus was unshakable, and how different situations would happen, and the fact that Jesus was unshakable in everything. We talked about the story of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist was killed, right, was beheaded. And here's this personal friend, not only personal friend, but relative, cousin, if you will, of Jesus. Jesus felt that pain. And the Bible says that when Jesus heard the news about John the Baptist, He said He wanted to go away to a solitary place. Sometimes you just need to be alone. I just need to be alone. And some of us are just like Jesus. Whenever Jesus got in that boat to go be alone, He goes up and lands on the shore and is greeted by a whole bunch of folk needing ministry. How many of you have just wanted to be alone and your family and your kids are like, "I need something from you right now," right? We know a little bit about Jesus, right? We know a little bit about being worn out, right? But Jesus was unshakable in that moment. He faced that moment with courage, right? He faced that moment unshakable. And then we talked about His unshakable identity. Jesus knew who He was. We talked about how when Jesus was baptized, the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And immediately he goes up into the wilderness. The Bible says immediately he went up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then immediately, what did the devil go after him about? His identity. If you are who you say you are. Jesus was unshakable in his identity. And then we talked about last week, we talked about how Jesus' unshakable purpose. He had unshakable purpose, right? And so we talked about what that purpose was last week. Jesus was on task, on purpose. And we watched the video of Sojo John. If you missed that video, I encourage you to go to I Am Second and watch the video of Sojo John, who was in the North Tower and his wife was in the South Tower. And he talks in the story about how basically, I don't want to tell you the whole thing, but basically that all boiled down to he had a revelation of what's important to God, and that's people. He said, God, I want to be about what you're about. I want to be about what your purpose is about. And he said, God just revealed to him it's about people. So Sojo John now runs a ministry in like three different places in the world that fights against human trafficking. He does a great ministry, and I just encourage you. It's actually a ministry called You Can Free Us. And he goes all over the world rescuing people. Put them in rehabilitation homes. He puts in. He takes these girls out of this terrible prostitution and trafficking, and he takes them and he puts them in a rehabilitation home where they're taught the love of God. They're taught. They're educated. They're given life skills. And then the great thing is these girls who were once they were owned by people. They're now put back into life and able to live a life because of the power of God and because of the real rehabilitation. Because, listen, watch this. Because one man understood that it's all about people. And we can talk about our ministry and what we're called to do. And let me just say, man, if your ministry and what you're called to do is not centered around people, then it's a little bit off of what God's purpose and plan is. And Let me just say this. It's totally not in my notes. Totally off topic. Let me say something, and I may just totally ruin my message, but it's okay. But it's in my heart. There is a misunderstanding of your calling and what your occupation is. They don't listen to me, and we teach people right. To do what you love. Do what you're passionate about. Right? And that's good. And that's true. And there's giftings. And we place ourselves in giftings. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul, he's not noted for what his work, his job was. How he made money was he was what? He was a tent maker. How Jesus made his money was carpentry. How the disciples made their money were fishermen. Right, and I understand that as they went, they did itinerant stuff and they made their money. But listen, their identity and their purpose wasn't Paul was a genius at the law, right? According to scriptures. He knew the law, he knew the book. But his job, he made his money at tent making. So what does that tell me? That tells me that your job is only part of what you're called to do. You're called to make money. Somebody said, why do we work? Why do I work? You know why I work? Because I like to go on vacation every once in a while. Right? I like to have something that I can drive and I don't have to walk to church. Come on. I like to work so I can live in a house that has, you know. But you know what I love to do? I love bringing people that are away from God close to God. Come on. And you know what the truth is? Nobody's ever going to know that I was a Snap-on guy. Well, except our customers. But I guarantee you, And let me just say about myself. I guarantee you that when I go to be with Jesus at my funeral, they're not going to talk about how well I knew car parts or Snap-on tools. I'm telling you that when you go, you're like, my passion is what God's passion is. It's about people. And so, yes, do your job. But the misnomer is that if I'm not successful in my ministry, or I'm not successful in what God's called me to do, unless I'm doing it as a career. And we got to be careful about this. And not only that, even in your workplace, even in your job, even in what you do, you're called to do something different than you're called to be an influence wherever you are. And that's your greater calling. Listen, I'm not going to stand before God and say, wow, you really knew your car part stuff. You know what God's going to be happy about? David, how did you touch the people that I love? Remember, I so loved the world that I gave. Jesus was given as a sacrifice. I mean, I think about all these people, you guys in the room and all the things that you guys do. And like Tyrone helps with, addiction stuff. And he helps with the Doves, help with the HSE and all of you guys, what you do, it's amazing. And Abby with her Bible study that she does for her mommy, what is it called?
Moms.
No, Mops.
Mops. How many of you know mothers of preschoolers need help by Jesus? Well, she helps do that. She helps facilitate that.
Most days we're comfortable with just hot coffee.
But it's about what we do for others that's going to matter. And don't wait and say, well, one day or whatever, and maybe I'll have, We just do what we do because we love Jesus, and Jesus oozes out of us. It's about, remember, our lives and what we're going to, when Jesus says, well done, he may talk about, your ethics at your job place, probably will, that you were a good example of me on the earth, what Jesus might say. But man, if you get involved with what Jesus is involved with, let me tell you something. Some of you guys who are just graduating high school and you're in your 20s and everything, be careful of this. Be careful of this. Your job does not define you. Your job is not who you are. First of all, you are a child of the Most High God through Jesus, made perfect by His blood. That is who you are. And what you do as a job pays the rent, right? Pays your mortgage, pays for your car, pays for whatever, pays for your however hundreds of thousands of dollars for your cell phone bill that's ridiculous, right? Pays your $1,000 iPhone 10. I won't leave that alone. But your job pays for that. But what you do for the kingdom, watch this, what you do for a kingdom will pay in the other life. Amen? That was free. I mean, I know you pay your tithes, but yeah. It's the truth. It's the truth. Don't get it mixed up. Don't get it mixed up. What you do for the kingdom. You know, Greg Dove is a great engineer. But I don't know Greg Dove as a great engineer. You know what I know Greg Dove as? A tremendous Bible teacher with a tremendous passion to see men and women get set free by the power of God. That's what I know Greg Dove with. And quite honestly, that's what heaven knows Greg Dove for. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to shorten my message. I just wanted to get that off of my... Because you know what? You see people so frustrated in their lives. You see people so frustrated. Anyway. Is that okay? Okay, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to fly through this. Okay, here we go. And they sailed, talking about the disciples and Jesus, to the region of the Gadarenes, which was across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stopped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. This Sunday is going to get interesting. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And when Jesus cried, he saw Jesus, he cried and fell to his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me. For Jesus had commanded an impure spirit to come out of him. Many times it had seized him, watch this, and though he was chained hand and foot, he kept it under guard. And he was broken, he broke the chains and had been driven out and been driven by demons into solitary places. This man was tormented. And then Jesus said, asked him, what is your name? He said, Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they had begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. There's some questions I'm going to ask God about. This is like one of them. And he gave them permission. And when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. We're going to read a lot of scripture. Then Jesus was led into the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Anybody's done any fasting? That's the truth. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up into their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Luke chapter 4 and verse 31 to 44. Then he went down from Capernaum to the account of Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people, and they were amazed at his teaching because of his words and authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out to the top of his voice, go away from me. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know that you are the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Everybody say sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before him, and they came out without injuring him. And all the people were amazed. That's understatement, right? So like, just picture that, right? They were, oh, amazed. They're amazed and said to each other, what words are these with authority and power to give orders to impure spirits that they come out? And news about him spread throughout the surrounding areas. What we want to talk about today is the fact that how we're going to be like Jesus this morning is, I want to be like Jesus the way I deal with demonic stuff. I want to be like Jesus and deal with the demonic stuff that happens in our culture the way Jesus dealt with issues and situations. Amen? First thing I want to say is this. Jesus recognized that the devil destroys life. We talked about last week the most important thing to Jesus, the most important thing to the Father is people. And Jesus talked about how the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. The devil comes to kill and steal and destroy from people. Your kids, he's after. Your loved ones. Let that sink. Your kids. Your loved ones. Your spouse. Your coworkers. See, the devil plays for keeps. And Jesus understood it. Jesus understood it. He understood that the enemy not only causes direct issues and direct damage, but he also caused collateral damage. The man in the tombs. You know what Jesus went to him? And let's break down all of the, oh, that's a really cool story, right? the pigs and the demons and, you know, running down the hill. I'm just going to ask. Understand that what Jesus was after was not a show. You know what he was after? The man that was in the tombs. Because Jesus loved him. And sometimes we get so wrapped up with the theatrics of that story that we miss the fact that that man who was bound all those years, other scriptures say he would cut himself. Cutting is not new. He would cut himself. He would throw himself into fire, another scripture says. He was just completely tormented. But Jesus came to set that man free. Because Jesus loved the man. Next thing we want to know about Jesus is Jesus didn't back down from a fight. Jesus didn't back down from a fight. He was ready to engage at whatever moment that was. Remember the story with the man in the tombs actually is when Jesus was wanting to get away by himself, right? You know, he was fully engaged. Jesus was fully engaged. I'm reminded of that Tom Petty song, right? I won't back down, right? You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. I don't know. I don't know about Tom Petty and his spiritual walk and everything. But let me tell you, right there, he was right on. I don't know, like something inside of me, I don't know if it's because I'm a guy, but it's something inside of me and it just says, ah, yes! Bring it. Bring it. Jesus was like that. The third thing is this, that Jesus did not tolerate the devil, period. He dealt with it head on, and he did not tolerate it. So often, oh man, whether on purpose, probably not on purpose, just by being disengaged, we allow so much stuff that happens to our lives, and we just allow it. Let me be more like Jesus. There's also another three things that I want to glean from these three encounters that Jesus had with the devil. The first one talks about the man at the Gazarenes and the idea that that Jesus asked him. It's interesting, right? Like, why does Jesus ask a demonic guy like a question? You ever wonder that? What is that? So Jesus asked him that thing for a little bit of, Jesus needed a little bit of clarity about that whole situation. So Jesus asked him, who are you? He said, we are legion. I'm legion, for there are many of him, right? I don't want to go into. See, that's why we're doing the class on spiritual warfare. This is a big, long commercial for Thursday night's class on spiritual warfare. But he says, he dealt with that thing by asking the question first. Who are you? How do we relate that to our lives? Jesus needed a little bit of clarity. Sometimes we need a little bit of clarity about what's going on in our homes, in our finances, in our bodies, right? In our lives and what's going on in the plan of God being stalled maybe in our lives. Like, what is going on? I need a little bit of clarity. So that's a great question for God by the Holy Spirit. God, what's going on? What is this? What's going on with this situation? I remember there was a time where it was a couple of years back, that Wesley was having these weird, crazy dreams. Just crazy, like night after night after night after night after night after night after night. You know? And, you know, Wesley is, you know, my son is like Mr. He is like, Wesley is my dad, just tell me the right thing to do and I'll do it. He's just kind of that guy, you know? And I've gotten on him about things. He would say, Dad, I just didn't know what the right thing to do was. I was like, oh my, how am I going to be mad at you for that, right? Right. So I just back off. So Wesley is not the kid, you know, who's like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say all that stuff. But he's a great, you know, he's just like, he's not inviting stuff into his life, is what I'm trying to say. Right? Because you can invite stuff into your life. So we just prayed, and we you quiz him, like, what's going on? And then my wife, she goes, I just think it's demonic. Like, you know, after, you know, don't you hate that? Like, I should have known, like, after the first couple of nights, but it went on for like a month or so. You know, I was like, oh my, well, not a month, wasn't that long. But it's so true. Like, we just go, oh, duh. But what we needed a little bit of clarity of what's going on with my son. And so you know what we did? Actually, I think Jessica came over. We actually invited Jessica, or she was coming over for something, and we say, hey, we're just, before we do whatever we're going to do, we're going to pray over our home. And so we did. We went through, isn't that right, Jessica? Remember that? We went over and we prayed over the whole house. We prayed over the whole house. We bound the devil. That's sometimes a really good thing to do. Just pray over your home. We prayed over our home. We bound the devil. We took authority because, let me tell you something, if that's your home, you have authority over your home.
Yeah, come on.
You have authority over your home. In the spirit realm, you have authority over your home. And we prayed over our home. We bound the devil. We prayed over his room. And you know what? The nightmare stopped. Duh. So what do? We ask for clarity. Jesus asked for clarity. Sometimes it's a marital fight. Sometimes it's maybe some division that's going on between you and your kid. What's going on? What's stirring all that up? We need clarity. Maybe it's just not your kid's not just totally rebellious. Maybe there's a demonic thing going on in your child's head or in your head. And maybe that thing about your spouse that you're fighting about is demonically induced. Maybe it's just not you're just mad at each other. And you ever have those days? Listen, watch this. This is like real life. Like, you ever have those days that you just wake up and you're like mad at your spouse for like no reason? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, you're so scared. You are scared people. Fearful. You just wake up and you just go, I'm just, you don't even know why. You don't even know why. You guys are so funny. You're sitting there going, so I know I'm hitting it. So, like, you just wake up and you're like, oh. And you're like mad. Or you have a dream about them. You have a dream about them, and you're like, and like for days, you're like, I had a dream about my wife. I had a dream that my wife, just the other night, I had a dream that my wife, like, we moved, but we moved into this other, like, this townhouse. But she lived in, like, a townhouse, like, two doors down. And I say, I moved in with this guy that I used to work with that was, like, the bane of my existence. And I was like, Julie, can we switch houses? I remember asking her that in my dream, can we switch houses? Because do you see who I'm living with? She was like, no, I just like it right where I'm at. I'm like, That was my dream. And I woke up and I'm like, I ain't making you coffee this morning. But I'm so serious. Like, don't tell me that the enemy cannot get in your head, fight battles in your head, and you just think, watch, it's slow. Listen, the number one thing you need to learn about the devil, and we'll teach that in the class, is the devil's number one ploy will be this. I'm not here. I'm not here. It's not me. As a matter of fact, it's you. One of the biggest ploys of the enemy is just to back off, let him do his thing, and let you guys fight it out. So we need to ask for clarity of what's going on.
Yes.
That argument that you and your fight, you and your wife are having, maybe something else is going on. So you just need clarity. All of a sudden your kids are acting crazy, and they're usually not crazy. Maybe something demonic is going on. Sickness. Your thoughts that you get alone. Maybe those thoughts aren't starting with yourself about how big of a loser you think you are, or about how terrible of a Christian that you are. Maybe those are put in you by another. You need clarity. Jesus needed clarity. You need clarity. The next thing is Jesus' temptation. What can we learn about the way Jesus dealt with temptation? The Bible says, And I don't think it's by accident. When the Bible enters things, like Jewish writing, when they wrote things about different things, when they put specific detail about different things in the Bible, it's there for a reason, right? So when it says that Jesus was hungry, and the next line is that the devil came him talking about food, right? That's an important thing. Like Jesus, when you're hungry, what can we learn from that temptation? First of all, we learn that we can learn that watch it. There's a phrase, and we'll teach it more in detail, but there's a phrase called halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Halt. If you're battling temptation in any area, if you're battling just whatever you're battling, you're more susceptible to the enemy's attack when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Mark it down. Mark it down. Hungry, angry, halt. Halt. It means you need to halt and make no rational decisions because you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Especially me when I'm hungry. And notice also that Jesus, it says that the enemy knew he was physically weak, so he attacked him at that time. Jesus also knew the power of the Word of God. He knew the power of the Word of God. He actually knew the power of the correctly interpreted Word of God. Remember, the devil's, he's fasted for 40 days, he's hungry, and the first thing the devil comes at him is temptation, quoting Scripture. Be careful. Jesus knew the Word of God. He also knew accurately how to break down the Word. And he used the Scriptures against the enemy. Notice that the devil didn't think that thought away. He didn't think that devil away. He spoke that away out of his mouth. Man, let me tell you something. If you battle the demonic stuff that attacks your life with your mind, we will be visiting you at Peachford. We will be visiting you because you'll go crazy. Jesus, it's an important thing. Jesus didn't think the devil away. He spoke it out. It is, devil, it is written. Man, sometimes you need to get alone and say, let me tell you something, devil. This is what you've been throwing against me. You've been hitting my finances. Devil, it is written. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God, I have given and it will be given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. That God, you give to me everything I need for life and to life and whatever that scripture is. But I would just quote out of your mouth scriptures. God, you give me an abundance towards every good work. I don't just barely get along, God. You give me an abundance towards every good work. When the enemy comes in, that standard that you lift up is the Word of God. And Jesus knew it. And the devil didn't have anything to say after that. It's the Word of God. We know the Word of God. That's why we just, we talk about, we need to read our Bible, we need to pray. Yes, we need to read our Bible. Yes, we need to pray. Not for some duty. We need armament. The Bible says that the sword of the Spirit, the number one offensive weapon is the Word of God. That Word, David said, thy Word I have hidden in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. I know the Word. I know. Quickly, what can we learn from the last story? As sometimes, you just need to look at the devil square in the eye, if you could see him. Face that situation and just tell him, shut up and get out. Shut up and get out. Jesus told that the person that was demon possessed, it was just real simple. Shut up and get out. Just quit your talking, devil, and get out. And get out. The word, it's interesting that the word that they use here, it is said sternly, right? The word there is actually rebuke. Rebuke, like we don't use that word anymore unless you've been a charismatic for a long time and you use it all the time. But we like in normal conversation, like I'm talking to like a customer and they say, well, I don't really know. I rebuke that. I rebuke, come against that, that, you know, you're not going to buy this for me because you need this whatever. You know, we don't use the word rebuke. That, maybe we should, Mike. That'd be a whole different world. Yeah, he pointed at me and goes, you do it. The word rebuke, listen to this. It means to rebuke means it's in order to curb one's ferocity or violence. To curb one's ferocity or violence. How many of you know that the enemy comes at you with ferocity and violence? And the Bible says that we're to curb that. I was going to find, I looked up a bunch of videos of this, and the best thing, I didn't find one, so anyway, because there's too much cussing. There's too much cussing on YouTube. But there's these great videos of these people, and I don't know, some of you might, I don't know, you wouldn't like it or anything, but like there's people like running into walls, like just flat out, just like, ever seen these videos? Like, anybody? There's just videos of people just going, ah, poof, and they just run into a stop sign, they're not paying attention. They're like, one guy was on a cell phone and ran almost, there was a bear loose. There's this one video, there's this bear loose, and this guy's on his cell phone. He almost runs right into this bear that's like walking, like, oh my gosh. Like, and these people run into the walls, like these people that run into this wall, ugh. I want you to get that in your mind about when Jesus rebuked that spirit. That spirit was going, heep, oh, Jesus. That is the word picture of that word, is it not? That's the word picture of that word. That Jesus is that standard. And he rebuked it, that enemy was flying. Don't. Whenever you see some goofy YouTube of somebody running down the street and they just knock their head against a stop sign and they fall over flat, that's the enemy. And Jesus is a stop sign. That's what that word means. Jesus, like, rebuked it right in the face and by saying, shut up and get out. Shut up and get out. I was going to say, look at your neighbor and say, shut up and get out. But I'm not going to do that. Ferocity means savagery, brutality. Right? Jesus came against it. What comes at your life? Think about what comes at your life with brutality. With all of that stuff. With all of the mess and all the discouragement. How many of you know that discouragement will come at you with veracity, and you feel like it knocks you almost useless, right? Insecurity comes at you with ferociousness, right? Like full speed ahead at you in your life. I'm a terrible parent. I can never do this thing right. My marriage will never be what I ever thought it would be. I just want to throw up my hands and quit, and it'll never be like I was hoping. Or it comes in like waves. You think that just comes to you because you're just, no, it's a lot of times it's demonically induced. Because he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that they may have life, and life to the full. Jesus hated the demonic. You know why he hated the demonic? Because he knew what it does to you and me. But the good thing is, congratulations. So the good thing is that the good thing is Jesus said, all the power and all authority has been given to me. Therefore, in my name, go. All power and authority has been given to me. Therefore, in my name, go. That's why James can say in chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You can put up some ferocious opposition of your own. You can now be, because of the name of Jesus, you can be that stop sign, right? That as the devil comes in, that the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. What is that standard? It's the name of Jesus and the Word of God. So start putting up some opposition. What are you putting up with? What are you putting up with in your life? What are you dealing with in your life? What are you allowing to overcome? What thoughts are just, that they just run rampant in your mind? What situational stuff has been going on and on and on? Maybe there's a force behind that. Your thoughts. The Bible says about Satan, he's the father of all lies. He's the father of all lies. The devil tempts people to sin. He can cause sometimes sickness and disease. He's the accuser of the brethren and the sistren. It's interesting that he says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. One of the number one things that the devil will do is this thing called distraction, like I talked about earlier. He will distract you about the things that are going on, even in the spirit world. You're like, some of you are like, man, this is like different kind of teaching. Some of you are like, it's not really like what I usually have heard. Just look through the scriptures. This is a supernatural book. Supernatural things. And they didn't all go away when Jesus rose from the dead. They're still here. The Bible says in the end times, in the last days, the devil will be chained and bound forever. I got so much more to say. That's what we're doing in class. But listen, we need to be people that understand the spirit realm. We need to be people that fight our battles according to the Word of God. And like I said before, even when I said during worship, we have to watch that we're not fighting our battles with our own knowledge and our own thinking. Prayer, the Word of God, exercising the authority that God's given you. God has given you authority by His name. Exercise it. Use it. Jesus, I'll say this and we'll close. Jesus had no tolerance for the devil. Zero. Zero. No tolerance. And in this day and age at which we live, neither should we. Neither should we. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to fight for myself. I want to fight for you guys. I want to fight for the people that I run and come in contact with. I'm not going to go to my Kroger. You want to be funny? Just grab and go, can I just pray for you? I'm by the devil. And you don't have to do that, right? And we'll teach this in a class. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, you can do it under your breath. You can pray for somebody. You just go, God, just, and it depends where they're at, you know. God, just pray for them. And then in the middle of it, like, you look them in the eye. This is way too much for Sunday morning. But look them in the eye. I just pray. Sorry, am I making you nervous?
Yes.
Okay, good. And I will. I'll just pray. And in my mind, and in my heart, I'm taking authority. Yeah. You can take authority over demonic stuff because of who you are in Jesus. You understand? Like, I got so much stuff to say. I'll say this and then I'll close. You understand? Listen, I want you to know how much victory you have.
Yeah.
You know how you go, oh, I don't want to go in there. It's kind of creepy. Go, I got some weird. You know what? When you walk into a place, take authority. This is my realm. I am not today, devil. Right? This is my wherever I step my foot, I will obtain. This is my authority. I don't have to worry about walking into some place with creepy spirits. Well, you know what? They have to worry about the fact that I'm coming into their space. That's the way we need to think. Oh, man. So, 4 weeks on Thursday nights. We're going to talk about this. Because I want us to get this. I want us to quit walking in victim and start walking like a victor that we are. Amen? Amen. Worship team, come to the front. Hallelujah. LaRue? Come up here, LaRue. Oh, no, you can stay right there. See what you got. This is LaRue. LaRue, a couple weeks ago, had just an awesome encounter with Jesus on Easter. So, yes, sir. Yeah. I can't hear him. Give him a mic. Don't make me go long, LaRue. I'll blame you.
That's all right.
Go ahead, put it up to your mouth. Put it up to your mouth, LaRue. Yeah, there you go.
This place.
Yeah, there you go.
And you people, I don't know a lot of you, but I do know a lot of you. The pastor, Pastor Julie. The minister of music, he may not be called that here, but I come to this, I'm talking about you. You. He has a way of just drawing me in when I step through the door. Mm. I've been a lot of places, I've seen a lot, I've been around a long time. But that pastor right there, he is the real deal. Pastor Julie, Pastor William Davis, and a few other pastors around here that I interact with. They're real, and that's how they come at you, from a very real place. I get up on Sunday and I'm not feeling well. And a little mind tells me I need to go find out what pastor's going to preach today. Because he always gives me something. That's selfish, I know, but I always get something from him. He doesn't have a facade. He's just himself. Right after starting his teaching, because I don't say he preaches, he teaches. It's an anointment that allows him to do that, to come down and speak directly to you about something he feels you need to hear right now. He may say he's off book, generally right on. I'm not complimenting you, buddy. This place, his leadership, you people being how you are. Before Will brought me here, I was a real skeptical guy, full of a lot.
He is now.
I don't know. That's an anointed man. Rich just can reach out. He and his lovely wife can reach out and just touch you. Not without you saying anything to him. Pastor Julie is like that. She reach out and touch you and pray with you out of nowhere. And I just needed to say I appreciate that. I appreciate being able to come here as an old dude and find acceptance with so many young people, even children. You know, when a child can walk up to you, it has no panic in him. Because, you know, a lot of children have a lot of panic. I saw a little baby this morning. I don't see him now. The little baby just looked up at you, looked up at me, and just wondered. No panic, nothing. It's just a beautiful experience of acceptance. And I'll shut up now.
Let me just give him a hand. I want you to do this for me. You know, let me just say this about LaRue. LaRue was in, he did sit-ins during segregation. He saw terrible things that made imprints in his mind. Went to Vietnam, was captured in Vietnam. Spent a long time off and on in a prison pit where they did all kind of terrible stuff to him. And there's people that just have had it more than we can imagine. That's only scratching the surface of what LaRue's been through. But you guys, he tells me, let me just repeat it, you guys have made him feel so welcome here. Let me tell you, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I forgot to say one thing, and it's real important. So, just some business. So, so many of you have known, and my wife would be mad at me if she heard me say this. Actually, go ahead.